This is one of my favorite times of year. Back to school. Woo! All the parents wooed, all the kids booed. I understand. No, it's fine. So, what you are receiving is a sheet of paper on which you can take notes. But it's not just any notes. I put on there a special way to take notes. It's called the Cornell Method, and it was developed at Cornell University. So at the top, obviously, there's a date. There's a topic. On the left is a column that says cues. On the right is a column for notes, and at the bottom it says summary. This method was developed in the 1950s by Dr. Walter Pauk, P-A-U-K, an education professor at Cornell. And he was trying to design a note-taking system. I think, yeah, there's a few more pencils if you need them. He was trying to design a note-taking system to help students actively process, organize, and review lecture notes. Because believe it or not, you could write something down, but your mind's not actually paying attention to what you're writing. And you could sit in a 45-minute lecture, take all kinds of notes, and walk out and somebody say, "So what did you learn?" "I don't know. I don't know." And so this was a way that some people had of that he developed to help you to actively learn. So on the cues side, that's where you would write maybe a word that you didn't understand, like perseverator. I used that word one time and it became this huge discussion as to if it was even really a word. It really is a word. Perseverator. Or discombobulated. Maybe you don't know what discombobulated is. And so rather than totally focusing on the word that you don't understand and letting your mind go down a tangential, another one, tangential word, you just write it down on the cue side. Just write down the word that you don't understand, spell it as best as you can, look it up later. So you don't forget, and you can look it up later, but then you can refocus on what's being said. Also, if while you're listening to the lecture, something comes up and you think, I wonder what that original word was in Greek or Hebrew, or you come up with some other question, you could quickly jot down a cue to remind yourself to look up whatever it was that you were thinking about. But there again, you can go back and focus on the lecture that's being said so that you could actually write notes and remember what was said. To me, the most important part is the summary at the bottom, where you go back at the end of the lecture, you go back and in your own words, in the summary, you write down what it was that you thought were the most pertinent points. Like, have you ever, this happens all the time, have you ever listened to a sermon and you told somebody, "Oh man, you should have been there on Sunday, it was so great." What did they preach about? I don't know, but it was really good. If you rewrite it in your own words, the summary of what it was that you just learned, what meant something to you, you'll actually remember it. You'll actually remember it. You're internalizing it. See, the Bible says, and I didn't give any of the scriptures to poor Dan and them, in James 1 in the Amplified, James 1 verse 19 through 25 in the Amplified, it says, "Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear, be a careful, thoughtful listener, and slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. For the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us." Now see, for a talker like me, it's very hard for me to listen without already starting to think of what I want to say in back. and then to start running my mouth. I actually got a prophetic word one time. No joke. I had Alan sitting on one side, John on the other, and the man said, you know, you're smart, you're this, you're that, but sometimes you just need to shut up. The two of them began to cackle and practically fell out of their, like, I got a prophetic word to shut up. He said, knowing the shortest route and always having to be right is not going to get it for you, girl. And I said, I think I see a heretic. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I mean, it can be for the more introverted, quiet types, you know, it could be easier maybe to stay quiet. But are you actively listening, or are you letting your head run with, you know, what your retort is? Well, I don't really think that. I don't like that. I don't like the way they're saying that. I don't, you know, she has something green in her teeth. Why is she talking to me like that? Wow, she had garlic for lunch. Like, there's all these conversations that can be going on in our heads. And this is even true when the Lord is trying to talk to us. It's even true during worship. You could have your arms up and singing the song, and your mind is, my stomach is so hungry. Oh, I cannot wait to get home to that roast that's cooking in this crock pot. Like, your mind can just wander. And so the Lord is telling us, focus. Focus in here. And so then it says, go on down to verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law of liberty and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets. God is challenging us. We get so much good teaching here. Really good teaching. I listen to a lot of stuff. YouTube is my friend. Especially this summer, we moved, I've been unpacking, and I mean, I've got the TV going, YouTube TV, I've got my phone, I've got my earbuds in, I'm listening to a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that I start it, but I don't finish it. It's just, maybe they're nice people, and they're really trying, but it's not feeding my spirit, because around here, we get what the Bible calls meat. We get meat to chew on around here. And so what we get here is valuable. And so the Lord is drawing us. He's inviting us into a relationship with him where we not just hear it, but we actually then do it. We actually do it. Has anybody written down any cues yet? Any notes yet? See, we got to feed ourselves during the week. You got to read your Bible. Very basic, but sometimes it's easier to listen to a podcast. It might be easier to watch a sermon. It's really easy to just watch TV or listen to a book on audio that just entertains us. And there's nothing wrong with that. I've listened to, I don't know, some Jack Ryan series. Just different, like, total fiction, not Christian, just whatever, books. Because it's just entertaining. It's entertaining. But I can never let that outweigh what I'm feeding myself during the week. If you only come in here on Sundays and this is the only scripture, this is the only teaching, this is the only part of the word that you're getting, it's not going to be enough to sustain you throughout the week. If you're constantly going to Caesar's house and you're hanging out with Caesar all day and all night, don't be shocked when you come home a Roman. See, think about it. Before you got saved, think about how old you were when you got saved. Now, I grew up in church, but I didn't really start a relationship with Jesus until I was about 24 years old. That means it was 24 years that this world had to disciple me. And it discipled me really good, and I was a really good sinner. really good. And so it took a few years of me really devouring the word, listening to the word. That was, okay, throwback. I mean, can I just say it is annoying that people call vintage stuff from the 90s? Okay, 90s is not vintage, people. I am not vintage. The 70s made me, the 80s raised me. 90s is not vintage, okay? It's not. But back in the 90s, before there were even iPhones, before there were even iPods, before there were even CDs, I had a car with a tape player. And if you don't know what it is, write down tape player in the cues and look it up later. Pay attention to what I'm saying. And I was driving between here and for my job to San Antonio, to Austin, to Dallas, sometimes to Louisiana. And so I listened to tapes. I listened to Pat Robertson. I listened to Joyce Meyer. I listened to Benny Hinn. I mean, I was devouring tapes. I didn't read the Bible, but I was devouring sermons. And I grew on that. Like if you're starting at nothing, that is a great way to start. But it couldn't sustain me. And so I was one foot in the church, one foot still kind of dangling around in the Roman land, in Egypt. Couldn't quite get all the way there. And I've told you before, Pastor Easy came up to me one day, "Cammie, you need to quit all this do-do-do-do-do-do-do and sit down and read your Bible." When I sat down and started reading my Bible, not just listening to sermons, that's good. Not just listening to podcasts, also really good. Not just watching stuff on YouTube, fantastic. But I had to get into the Bible myself. Myself. And start to read that and let it become a part of me. Not just read it and then set it down and go out and do what I wanted to do. But read it with my name in it. You know, when it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent, Cammie, to present yourself approved to God." Not somebody else. Not "be diligent, Janine. Be diligent, Alicia." No, no, when I'm reading it, this is for me. "Be diligent, Cammie, to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed." Okay, so if I'm doing something somewhere in my life that I'm ashamed of, maybe that's not something I should be doing. Maybe I need to bring that to God, confess it, repent of it, quit doing it, so that I can stand before Him unashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God speaks to us through His word. He speaks to you. And you may think, "Well, I've never heard God through the word." Well, first of all, the word is Him, and it is His voice, so you do hear that. But just keep reading. Just keep reading. Do you realize there are 31 chapters in Proverbs? You could read a chapter of Proverbs every day for a month, and you will have read the whole book of Proverbs. If there's 31 days in that month, I know some months are only 30, and February is only 28. But then here's what you do. The next month, you do it again. Because the next month, you get something out of it that you didn't get the month before. The Word of God is kind of like an onion. It has many layers, and each one will make you cry in the best way. And so you read it again, and you learn that, look to the ant, you sluggard. Oh, I guess that means I need to be working. I need to work. I need to be diligent. Not that working earns my salvation. That's all through Jesus and His blood. That is settled. But by stepping into any time God tells me to do something, and I step into obedience in that area, there's a growth of maturity. There's a step of maturity. And then the next time He says something, "Hey, I don't really love that attitude you've been having lately at work. I want you to just change it a little bit, and you obey. It steps into you're stepping into maturity with Him. You're stepping into trust with Him. Like when He tells you to do something, and then you do it, and then you see Him the benefits of that. There's a it's like a pillar being built in your house. We don't really have pier and beam around here too much. Do you guys know what a pier and beam foundation is? Okay. So here in Houston, the foundations for our houses, they just plow down everything, all the trees, and then they put down cement, right? In Oklahoma, it's different dirt. It's clay up there, like literal red clay. That's why they have red bricks up there, because they make red bricks out of red clay. That's what Oklahoma has. It's red dirt. And if you were to just pour a cement foundation, it would literally slide in 5, 10, 15 years with droughts and floods and everything. It would literally slide. So there they have what they call pier and beam. They dig down deep into the clay, on past the clay into the bedrock, and they pour a cement beam, or they put down a wood beam. And they put these beams around, and then they build your house on top of the beams. And so then you have what's called a crawl space under the house. I'm getting some nods from some guys. They know what I'm talking about. Pier and beam. Your house isn't moving. It's not going to move. You've put a pier. You've gone through the surface, and you've gone down into the solid bedrock. Every time the Lord asks us to do something and we obey it, we are putting a pier down through the surface into the bedrock that will not move. It will not move. We are setting a foundation for our life. Where He tells us to do something, we obey it, we build trust with Him, we see the benefits of it. And you just do that, and you do that. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Does it say, blessed is the man who does not walk with the ungodly? No, it says the counsel of the ungodly. I walk with the ungodly all the time. I work with them. I live around them. Sometimes some of them are in my house. But I'm not taking counsel from them. I'm not going to the ungodly to learn how to invest my finances. I'm not going to the ungodly to figure out my future. I'm not going to the ungodly to figure out my political whatever. I'm not going to the ungodly to figure out how I should feel about my future, my finances, my relationships, my life. I'm not going to the ungodly to figure out my worth. You can like me or dislike me, follow me, unfollow me. I don't care. Jesus has set my value. Jesus has set my worth. Jesus has set my identity. I don't get it in that. So see, we need to walk with the ungodly, because if we don't walk with them, how will they ever see a better way? How will they ever see Jesus? See, the Bible talks about if there's no preaching, how can they hear? That we got to live a life in front of them. So we're going to walk around them, but we're not taking counsel from them. I don't go to my unsaved friends when I'm hurting and I'm lost and I need help. No, no, no. First, I go to Jesus. First, I vent to Him. I vent to Him. I talk to Him. I ask Him, how do you see this situation? How do you see this going on? And then maybe if I need some help, I'll go to maybe one or two other people. I'm not going to telling everybody all my stuff all the time. At some point, that's no longer venting. It's complaining. And if you want to know about how God feels about complaining, go into the book of Numbers. He sent a bunch of snakes to bite a bunch of people. He doesn't like complaining. He's not down with it. See, Sundays alone is not enough. Pastor Easy always encouraged us, because a lot of us were living out here in Sugar Land, and we were driving, into town for jobs, and so we had long commutes up and down 59. And so he always encouraged us, anytime we were going up and down 59, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. It's so easy just to turn on something else, you know, some book on tape, some fictional thing. And again, I'm not against entertainment. I'm not against reading a book that's not self-help or whatever. You know, it's not about the Bible. That's okay. But if I'm only listening to that and only getting Jesus when I'm in here, it's not going to be enough to sustain us. We live in a very fast-paced world. I mean, every single app now has ads. Every single one, even ones that didn't used to, they all have ads. And then, if that's not enough, somehow they get whenever, okay, do you realize that there are, because this is going to go out on the internet, there are companies that when you go to their website, they have software that can see where your mouse goes and what it is that you're looking at. And actually, your phone number will pop up on their screen. At a previous company that I worked at, it freaked some people out because we would call them, I see you're looking at blah, 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 blah on our website. Can I help you with that? It freaks some people out. When you go on the website and you put that allow cookies, they can see what you're looking at. They can see where your mouse is hovering. They can see how long you're on each page and if you're scrolling through all the pictures of the dress. And then all of a sudden you get an email with a discount. Like this world is throwing at you, you know, buy this, buy that, go into debt for this. You need this. You need this to define who you are. You need this to establish your status. You need this to know your identity. You need this. You need that. Go get this. This is what's cool. This is what you need. We have got to be feeding ourselves the words of Jesus to be able to withstand the onslaught of this world that is trying to push an identity on us that is not the identity that Jesus gave us. And so while I do the dishes this morning, I had my little earbuds in. David was asleep. And I was listening to worship music. And then I listened to a sermon. And then I listened to another sermon. And then I went to my YouVersion app, and I let it read some Bible to me because I didn't have time to sit down and read. I had clothes to fold and the dogs to feed and this, that, and the other. And so until it was time for me to sit down and read my Bible, I let YouVersion read it to me. There are ways. Hey, AI is here, folks. As crazy as it is here. Let's use it for our advantage. Let it read to you. Let it read to you. Listen to the word however you need to do it. If you need to sit down with your candle and your journal and your 15 colored pencils and you need to doodle a little something and then color in the coloring page, okay, just do it. That's fine. If you're a mom on the go with 15 drop-offs and pickups and you're in the line and everything else, okay, hit play on YouVersion. Let the Bible be read to you. There was a season, and it was really, there was a season because of what I came out of that when I would go to sleep, I would have horrible dreams. Now, I don't mean scary. I mean, not nice dreams because of what I came out of. And I really began to seek the Lord on it because it didn't seem fair because I was asleep. Like, you can't control your brain while you're asleep. Your brain kind of controls things while you're asleep. And I read I think it was Song of Solomon. Or maybe it was Proverbs, maybe Psalms. That the sleep of the righteous is sweet. And so I started asking God. I said, God, this isn't fair that the devil gets to attack me while I'm sleeping. And he robs me of my sleep. And so, Lord, I ask you, put angels around my brain while I'm sleeping that can fight for me when I'm not awake. And God did that, and the dreams stopped. They stopped, and I was able to sleep. God has solutions to our problems hidden in his word. And he doesn't hide them, as Kirk has taught us. He doesn't hide them from us. He hides them for us so that it, I saw that, Riley, so that we would then dig, so we would seek, so we would ask, so then we could have the joy of finding. It's one thing whenever you get revelation from someone else. It's very, oh, yes, good, yes, good. And that's there's nothing wrong with that. But how much better is it when we get it on our own? When we find that nugget, we find that pearl, that diamond, that ruby, that emerald, that thing that we were needing, and we get it on our own, straight from Jesus, straight from the Holy Spirit. How much deeper does that go on the inside? How much more internalized does that become? How much more word becoming flesh in us does that become? And you won't get it if you don't get into the Bible. So read the Bible. If you've never read the Bible before and it feels overwhelming, start with the book of John. Kirk taught us that. Start at the book of John. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Get a Bible reading plan. Lena has followed the same Bible reading plan for many years. I won't say how many. Many years. Listen to an audio Bible. Find other sources. Every morning, I get an email from the dangerous gentleman. I know I'm not a gentleman, but I sneak in on their newsletter. And it's just a real quick little thing that starts me off in the morning. I think it comes in at like 3 or 4 in the morning. And it's just a little thing of you know, here's your mission, because this is an ex-military guy. Here's your mission. Here's the scripture. Here's what to do. And I mean, it's a 3 to 5 minute read. He purposely, because he knows he's writing to men, nothing against men, but he knows that he's got to get straight to the point. Don't want a lot of flowery stuff, just straight to the point. But what I love about it is that it always has, and here's what to do. Ask the Lord today, what are 3 areas where I could serve my wife? What are 3 areas where I could serve my kids? One time it was, what are 3 areas I could serve my boss? Like every day he's got a little something for you to then apply what it was that was just done. Here's a crazy one. Re-listen, watch the Epicenter sermons again. I watch them, I'm here for them, but then I watch them at least once, most of the time twice, and sometimes 3 times, because I want to get it in me. I don't want to be the same. I'm not the same today as I was a month ago, and I don't want to be the same next month as I am today. I want to be different. I want to walk out of here different. And I want to be able to remember what I actually learned in here. I do not want to walk out of here and be like, what was it that I, what did he talk about? I don't know. It was really good. I felt it, but I can't remember anything about it. I want to remember something, because I don't want to remember it just so I can remember it. I want to remember it because I want to make a change. I want to be different. I want to grow up. I want to mature. I want to be effective. I want to teach Jesus. I want to be like Alicia was saying, be more courageous. Tell people my testimony. I feel like, you know, as you get older, the testimony gets longer because there's more years. You know, some of y'all, you know, you've only been saved for 6 months. And so your testimony is, you know, I was not saved and I met Jesus and now I'm saved. I've got a lot of stories in between because Jesus has saved me again and again and again, and from myself and from my own issues and from my problems and from my hangups, and you know, I did this wrong and then I learned a lesson from it. And so of course I'm going to teach about that. My testimony gets a little longer. And so I tend to think, oh, people don't care about that. They do. They do. Because they don't know Jesus, and they may not have ever met anybody that was actually changed by Jesus. They may have met a lot of people that went to church, but they hadn't met anybody that was changed by Jesus. And so you need to tell them the change that Jesus has done in your life. So listen to the sermons again and again and again until you feel like you've got it in you to where it actually makes a difference in you. Listen to other sermons. If you don't know who to listen to, ask Dan and Alicia. They got a list. They have a long list. Read and listen to books. I'm getting all kinds of great reactions. Yes, Hannah, yes. Here's a fact. Leaders are readers. It's just a fact. Leaders are readers. And if you just are not a reader, leaders are listeners to audiobooks. A lot of times I have got too many things going on to sit down and read a book. If I sit down to read a book, I sit down to take a nap. It just happens. I don't want it to, but it just does. And so I listened. I listened to a lot of, and I mean, I really listen. I don't just have it on in the background and letting my mind run away somewhere else. Like, I listen when I'm doing things that are mundane, like vacuuming. That's a great time to, focus in on what you're listening to, because this is a pretty, a lot of muscle memory, right? Like, it doesn't take a lot to just be able to vacuum. Folding clothes is muscle memory. You're not having to think about it. You just fold the towels in half and then in half. You actually fold clothes. You don't just grab them out of the basket. I know, shocker. Actually fold your clothes and put them away. But you fold, and it's a muscle memory. And so you can listen to what you're actually saying. And so listen to the word. Listen to books. Listen to books about Jesus. Watch movies about Jesus. I was, last night I started watching Jesus Revolution again. Such a good movie. Such a good movie about the hippies that came to know Jesus in what they ended up calling the Jesus movement. And how they were just sharing their gospel. It's such a good movie. It's encouraging. Watch something encouraging. Watch something that's going to build you up. I don't want to watch something that I walk away going, ugh, I feel icky. I feel gross. I feel slimy on the inside because I just allowed something in that was not glorifying. Does everything have to be Christian? No, I know there are people that watch MMA. My husband watches golf. I love it when he watches golf. Here's golf. Here's what I hear when he watches golf. And he's stepping up to the seventh tee. He's got to get this for birdie to make under par. I don't know what any of those words mean, but it's so peaceful, and you hear the birds in the background, and you hear golf clap. It's so peaceful. I love it when he watches golf. It just fills the house with wonderful sounds. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you do want to watch something for entertainment, I encourage you to pick something that's not going to leave you with an ick feeling afterwards. Okay? I'm just going to leave that there. Can open, worms everywhere. Y'all just figure it out. So be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers. We are not saved by our doing. That was Jesus. But we grow up. We mature. We become those that attract others to Jesus. We become those that share the gospel, that step out in faith, that get out of the boat, that are willing to take a risk for a generation that's dying and is lost and is looking for something. And so I encourage you, write down, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Go down to the summary part. And in your own words, do your own summary. There is no right or wrong here. This is what you got out of the sermon. Do you realize what else you just did by writing that? It has been proven that when students write notes, not type, when they write, and not digital write. I mean, I have my iPad, I have my iPencil, I take notes with that. But when you write it pen and paper, in this case, pencil and paper, it actually creates more synapses in the brain, which means memory, right? Like, you don't just have thoughts. It's not like a nebulous, gaseous cloud in your brain. It's actual neurons. And when you have a thought, it's because those neurons are firing back and forth down these pathways. When you physically write, and even cursive is better than print, believe it or not. So if you don't know cursive, go on YouTube and learn it. Believe it or not, cursive is better than print. But when you write in cursive with pen and paper, it creates a stronger synapse in your brain for you to remember that and for you to go back and pull that back from your memory. So if you don't know cursive, learn it. It's good for your brain. But that's what you just did. You created a pathway in your brain of what you just remembered. And now whenever you come back and you review it in a couple of days, when you rewatch the sermon and it re-triggers those memories, those pathways, then it begins stronger. And it gets stronger. Every time you think about it, it gets stronger. That's why they tell students, don't just write your notes once, go back and read them. And then in a couple of days, read them again. And then in a couple of days, read them again. And actually, if you really want to remember it, read it a couple of minutes before you go to bed, because then your brain really packs it in there. Like, there's all these scientific things that are proving what God has said, where he said, get a vision, write it down. Get a word, write it down. So the Lord is telling us. So I just want to encourage you, write things. Write your prayers out to God. Write what he says back to you. If you get a prophetic word, sure, transcribe it, please. I used some app to transcribe it, printed it out, put it up on my mirror. That's fine, but write it. You will remember it if you write it. Because it's not just about the memorization. It's not just about the remembering. But it's when we remember what God has said, then we can let that imprint on our hearts. And then our actions will then come from our hearts. And so welcome back to school this week, guys. Keep an eye out for the school zones. Watch those flashing lights. The law enforcement will be making sure we're keeping our kids safe and nobody's speeding through those. Those tickets are very expensive. Not worth it. Just slow down. But I encourage you this week, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Listen to a sermon or two. Listen to a podcast. Go back and listen to Pastor Lena's sermon from last week. Listen to Kirk's sermon. Listen to Alicia's testimony. Listen to Dan's sermons. Listen to those sermons again. Let God speak to your heart, and then whatever he says, do it. Do it. Stand with me. Jesus, we love you. And Jesus, you didn't just hear the Holy Spirit, but you did things for us, on our behalf. You did things. And so, Lord, we just say to you, not our will, but let yours be done in our lives. Lord, I thank you that you speak to every one of us this week. That God, next week when we come in, we're different because we met with you. You spoke and we did it. Father, I thank you for not just a body of Christ, but a mature body of Christ, that we would go out in the world and shine your light for all others to see, that they would have hope in the darkness, that they would have peace in the war, that they could have joy amongst sorrow. God, they're looking for it, and let it be us. And so, Father, we just give you all praise and glory and honor this morning. We just declare we love you, and we will do whatever you say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.